I'm Nino Ricci, and I'm reading from my novel Testament. I'm reading from the third section, which is in the voice of Miriam, the mother of Yeshua. The novel is a fictional retelling of the life of Jesus. As a child, I lived in Jerusalem, this in the time of Herod, who was called the Great. Through many favors, my father had gained a place at court as a clerk, and he began to think how he might further advance our family's fortunes by making a good marriage for me. Even in those days, there were many Romans who passed through the court, soldiers and officials who came down from Syria or Caesarea, which Herod had built, or even from Rome. One of these, a legate awaiting orders, my father befriended and presented me to, leaving us several times alone. In the end, because I was young and did not know better, and because he threatened me with harm, I was forced to yield to him. I was never able to forget the smell of him. He did not smell like a Jew, but had a perfumed odor underlain with a stench like rancid fat. After that time, I was able to bear many things, because I knew always that the worst thing was behind me. The legate did not take me as his wife, as my father had planned, but abandoned me the moment he had received his commission. When he had gone, it grew clear that I was with child, and so was disgraced. My father beat me when he discovered this, though, as I said to him, it was you who put me in his way, which silenced him. To save me then from being outcast, he began to search for a husband for me, asking among the lower orders, for surely no one of our own station would have had me. As it happened, there was a mason employed at the temple works by the name of Yehosef, who was in search of a wife. He was an old man, three times my years, who had put another wife away from him for barrenness, and did not want to repeat his error. So it was an advantage to him that I was with child, because I had proved myself fertile, and also that I was young, being not yet 15 years. Nonetheless, to make up for the dishonor of me and the expense of being saddled with a child not his own, he asked much above the usual dowry, all in coin, and offered no bride price. It cost my father all his small fortune to satisfy him, in which, however, I took some bitter consolation, for he had ruined my life in the hope of advancing his own ambitions. We were married quickly at Bethlehem, which was Yehoshaphat's town. Of my family, only my father and mother were present, and my brothers and sisters, who were young and did not understand why matters had been done in such haste and with such unhappiness. They thought that surely Yehoshaphat must be the groom's father when they saw him, so ancient did he look, and I confess how my own heart fell at the sight of him, for I had not so much as laid eyes on him until then. It was the hardness of him that I could not bear. He seemed made of the same stone that he worked in. I was in the full flower of youth then, and had had my hopes, only to be coupled with such hard, unyielding flesh. However, that first night he came to me and said that because he judged me unclean, he would not lie with me or put any hand on me until I had brought forth my child, for which I was grateful. We shared a house with his brothers. Though Yehoshaphat was the eldest, he was the only one without sons, and so had taken for himself the poorest quarters, which were no more than a cavern cut out of a rock face that rose up at the back of a courtyard. In Jerusalem, living near the palace, we had thought ourselves poor because of the many riches that surrounded us, and that we had no part of. But the floors had been tiled, at least, and the walls plastered and adorned, while here there was nothing between us and the earth, and we lived no better than the animals in the stable. Until I had given birth, I was not allowed so much as to step out from the house's gate to keep in the untimeliness of my condition. So day and night were spent in the gloomy damp of our cave, without company, since the wives of Yehoshaphat's brothers would hardly deign to address me, and also kept their children from me. Yehoshaphat neither encouraged them in this nor reprimanded them, and so behaved, as he no doubt imagined, with fairness. It was exactly this fairness in him that most embittered me. For instance, he said to me that until I had produced an heir for him, he would use no part of my dowry except to pay whatever expenses we incurred for the child I produced, so that the dowry would remain intact should he need to return me to my family. Thus he made clear to me that I was no more than a slave he had hired to make his heirs, and that he was ready to put me away from him as he had his first wife, should I fail him in this. Never once did he ask after the father of the child I carried. But I imagine this was not to spare me embarrassment, but only to keep me from plying him in any way for forgiveness.